Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Paternity Case by Gregory Ashe, narrated by Tristan James. Chapter 1, December 22nd, Friday, 6:47 p.m. Stop yanking on my collar. It doesn't look right. Your face isn't going to look right if you keep it up. You're just... there, see? It's fine. No, wait, hold on. Summers, if you touch me again, I'm going to break your hand. That threat, at least, brought an impasse. Emery Hazard gave his partner and roommate a furious look and, just to be safe, stepped out of reach. John Henry Somerset, who went by Summers, crossed his arms. If you just let me... Drop it, all right? Summers let out a defeated sigh and held his hands palm out in surrender. He sank back a step, positioning himself near the sofa. Their apartment, with only two bedrooms and a combined living area and kitchen, didn't offer much space for retreat. Summers gave a shake of his head and turned in a circle, his gaze flitting from object to object, as though the apartment's clean, contemporary furnishings had suddenly absorbed his interest. "What the hell's gotten into you?" Hazard said. He studied his partner. Summers had the slender-toned musculature of a swimmer and the blonde good looks of a swimmer who could sell a hell of a lot of Speedos. Normally, he skated by on those looks. His clothing was frequently rumpled, his hair mussed, his general appearance making Hazard want to shake him, or at least run an iron over his shirt. Tonight, though, Summers had tried for something more. A blue gingham shirt, a navy sports coat with brass buttons, and dark corduroys that hugged his butt and made it occasionally difficult for Hazard to breathe. The look, however, wasn't quite working. The gingham shirt was creased across the chest, and the buttons were done up wrong, and the hem of his pants was coming out. Summers seemed oblivious to his own condition, however. He fiddled with the buttons on his sports coat, and then a flicker of apprehension crossed his face, and he took a step towards Hazard. "You don't normally wear your hair like that." Hazard planted a hand on Summers' chest and shoved the blond man towards the sofa. "Sit." "You're being ridiculous." "I'm being ridiculous?" Hazard didn't bother to wait for a reply, but he did, when he thought Summers wasn't looking, check himself in the mirror. Summers was a damn fool. His hair always looked like that. "What's Nico wearing?" "Sweet Christ," Hazard muttered. Then, in a louder voice, he added, "It's one dinner." "I know what it is, Hazard. I asked you what Nico's wearing." "I don't know what my boyfriend is wearing, Summers. I haven't seen him today. I've been busy working. You remember work, right?" "You're just mad because I took a personal day." Summers glanced at the door, thumbing the brass buttons on his sleeve so that they ticked against each other. "Seriously, though, is he wearing a suit?" Hazard shrugged into his jacket, grabbed his keys and his wallet, and started for the door. Either he left now or he might very well kill Summers, and that wouldn't look good on their quarterly evaluation. Before Hazard could open the door, though, someone knocked. Hazard pulled it open and found Nico standing in the hall, holding flowers. Nico Flores, with his shaggy black hair and his caramel skin, straddled the threshold between boy and man. He was 25, but a very young 25, and his height and slender build made him look lanky when he loafed around in his ratty clothes. Tonight, though, there was nothing ratty about Nico, and nothing lanky either. Dressed in a stylish gray suit with a white shirt open at the throat, Nico looked exactly like what he was, a model. True, Nico was more than that. He was a theology grad student and a very smart young man. But he was, at that moment, hot enough to start a fire just by dragging his feet. "These are for you," Nico said, passing over the flowers. Hazard kissed him, accepted the bouquet, and said, "I was going to pick you up." "I know. I wanted to surprise you." Hazard led Nico into the apartment, passing into the kitchen to find a vase where he could display the flowers. Summers, when he saw them, collapsed back into the chair. "He's wearing a suit." Nico glanced at Summers and then at Hazard.
"What's he talking about?"
"Forget it. A goddamn suit." Nico glanced down at his clothes.
"I thought we were going to..."
"We are. Just ignore him." It was, however, surprisingly difficult to ignore Summers. He lurched upright and stabbed an accusing finger at the two of them. "It's going to be hard enough with just one of you there. You got that, right? But both of you? And he's wearing a goddamn suit?" Nico's cheeks colored, and in a whisper he asked,
"He doesn't want to go to dinner with a gay couple. Why'd he invite us?"
"He's not homophobic," Hazard answered. Then, in a louder voice, he added, "He's just an insecure asshole."
"I heard that," Summers called.
"Will somebody tell me what's going on?" Nico asked.
"What's going on?" Summers said, stalking towards the kitchen and stabbing another finger at them. "Is that I'm trying to impress someone tonight, but you show up." He jabbed a finger at Nico, "in a goddamn suit. And you," a finger darted at Hazard, "are doing something stupid with your hair."
Nico cocked a quizzical eyebrow at Hazard.
"I don't know."
"Your hair does look different."
"I told you," Summers shouted.
"I knew it."
"Jesus Christ, will you please not encourage him?" Nico's refined features twisted into a mask of complicated emotions. He didn't like Summers. Oh, he'd never said those words, but his feelings were obvious. He was convinced, for some reason, that Summers was infatuated with Hazard. It didn't matter what Hazard said to convince him otherwise, but right then, something was warring with Nico's dislike, and it took Hazard a moment to realize what it was. Compassion.
"I don't get it," Nico finally said, still directing his words to Hazard, even though his gaze never left Summers. "He knows he's hot, right?"
Summers, who had begun pacing, paused. His chest puffed out a little.
"I asked you not to encourage him," Hazard said with a sigh.
"Well, he is. And what is this, a date? I mean, she's not going to be looking at either of us. We're gay, right? It's not like we pose any kind of threat."
"Try telling him that."
"Did you at least offer to help him?" Nico asked.
"No," Summers said. "He didn't." Hazard threw up his hands. "The damn fool was worried about my collar and my hair." Nico opened his mouth, and Hazard hurried to add, "Which looks the exact same as it always does." Nico, with an exaggerated roll of his eyes, left the kitchen. Taking Summers by the arm, he steered him to the center of the room. Nico released him, examined him with a critical eye, and said,
"Pants off."
"Really?"
Hazard asked. "You could have helped him."
Summers gave Hazard an indignant look.
"He's right. You could have helped me."
"Nobody can help you." In response, Summers whipped off his pants, standing there in a pair of boxer briefs patterned with hearts. The underwear left almost nothing to the imagination, and Hazard felt his throat dry up.
"You can leave those on for now," Nico said dryly. "I'll fix your hem. Emery, will you please iron his shirt?"
"Hell no."
"Emery Hazard."
"He's a grown man. He can iron his own damn shirt."
"I don't know how to iron my shirt," Summers confided quietly to Nico.
"That's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard," Hazard said. Shaking his head, he crossed the room and waited while Summers slipped out of his jacket and shirt.
Underneath, he wore a white tank top that exposed smooth muscle and the dark ink of curling tattoos that ran to his wrists. At the sight of so much bare skin, Hazard felt a squeak growing in his throat. He ripped the shirt out of Summers' hand and went to find the goddamn ironing board. It really didn't take that long. Nico was back with the pants in a flash, and as he handed them to Summers, Summers said, "How'd you learn that?"
"On the runway,"
Nico said with a shrug.
"You've always got to be ready in case something falls apart at the last minute. Emery, are you done with the shirt?"
"Yes, I'm done with the goddamn shirt."
Nico took it without comment. After Summers' failed third attempt to button it,
began to do up the buttons himself.
"Will you stop looking so goddamned pleased with yourself?" Hazard demanded.
Summers had the decency to try to look abashed, but he didn't get very far.
"There," Nico said, patting Summers on the chest. "You look good."
"Yeah? Jesus, he's a glutton for compliments."
"Really good,"
Nico said, ignoring Hazard.
"Hot stuff. She's going to fall for you hard."
Summers was beaming. It was infectious, which only made Hazard more irritated, and he grabbed Nico by the arm and hustled him towards the door.
"Thanks," Summers called after them.
"Do not answer him." Once again, Nico ignored Hazard.
"See you there."
Only when they were riding down the elevator car did Nico ask,
"So who's the girl? I've never seen him so nervous."
It was stupid. It was stupid and selfish and petty. Summers could date whoever he wanted. He could date anyone in the whole world, as far as Hazard was concerned. He could date a serial killer. He could date a fish woman. He could date the woman who had broken his heart and kept him in limbo for years. Hazard tried to shove the thoughts away, and he didn't like the surge of vicious satisfaction he felt as he answered.
His wife.
Chapter 2. December 22nd, Friday, 7 p.m. Wolverado was a Midwestern college town, and like so many Midwestern college towns, it had experienced a genuine boom of culture and prosperity at the beginning of the 21st century. Moulin Vert was one sign of that prosperity. Wolverado's finest French restaurant, with real candles and real crystal and real snooty waiters, as though they'd been shipped over special. At the door, Hazard helped Nico out of his coat and passed their garments to the coat check. As one of the black-uniformed staff led Hazard and Nico across the dining room, most of Moulin Vert's patrons stopped to stare. In part, Hazard knew, they were interested in the appearance of a gay couple at one of Wareda's more conservative establishments. In part, too, they were interested in Emery Hazard, the only gay cop on the force, a local boy who had come home and made a name for himself by solving two sets of brutal and bizarre murders. A lot of it, though, had to do with the fact that Nico was just so pretty. Straight or gay, every eye in the room paused and did a little private lusting over the Argentine boy. Their table stood at the back, with four seats and four places. As they sat, Nico said,
"So they're divorced, but they're getting back together again?"
"What does it matter?"
"It doesn't."
"All right."
"So if it doesn't matter, why won't you talk about it?"
Hazard growled, barely managing to swallow the noise.
"She never divorced him."
"You don't like her."
"I haven't seen her in 15 years.
"You hate her."
"I don't have any feelings for her one way or the other."
"That's a lie."
Nico smiled to soften the words, and his hand slipped into Hazard's.
"What was she like in high school?"
"Popular."
Nico's smile broadened, and he squeezed Hazard's hand.
"I don't know. She had a difficult life. We never interacted much. She was very pretty and very popular. I was..."
Hazard paused and shrugged. Nico squeezed his hand again.
"You were the only gay boy in town."
Hazard touched the stem of his glass. The crystal was cold, and the cold ran straight up his arm, and it made him think of how cold it was outside, of how he didn't want to be here in this goddamn restaurant, and how he could drive home and tear that very expensive suit off of Nico piece by piece, and spend the rest of the night making his boyfriend forget he'd ever heard of John Henry Somerset.
"She came from a bad family," Hazard heard himself saying. "Her father was in prison for most of her life. Her mother, well, the rumor was that her mother worked as a prostitute."
"Did she?"
"How the hell should I know? Kids are stupid. They'll say anything, and they'll say it twice as fast if it's mean and if it hurts someone who's better looking or more popular."
"They also say things that are true."
Nico wrinkled his nose, and his eyes roamed across Hazard's face.
"Your hair is longer."
"God damn it,
It's the exact same as always.
No, it's definitely longer.
At that moment, Summers came across the restaurant towards them with a woman on his arm. She was tall, not quite as tall as Summers, but tall enough that she probably wore flats more often than not. Her hair had changed since Hazard had last seen her. It was short and artfully curled, and it accented the delicate features of her face. Seen from a distance, there was something ethereal about her. In the pallor of her skin against the dark hair and dark dress, as though she were a spirit out of the past. Out of Hazard's past, more precisely. One thing, though, hadn't changed. Cora Malshow Somerset was still beautiful in a way that devastated Hazard. That beauty went through him like a bulldozer. Who in the hell could compete with that kind of beauty? Not Emery Hazard. Not that he wanted to. Not even a little. They all stood up and shook hands and murmured polite greetings, and then they sat and silence took over. Hazard knew that once he started looking at Summers, he would have a hard time stopping. Instead, he focused on a middle space between Cora and his partner. The silence stretched out, and out, and out.
"God, I could use some wine," Summers said.
Cora looked away, as though embarrassed by the comment. No doubt she was. Summers had gone through a phase of serious drinking after she had kicked him out of the house. Even now, when their fights grew too serious, Summers plunged into a bottle as fast and as deep as he could. Hazard's face heated, and a drunk Summers, it turned out, often had far too few inhibitions. Nico was the one who broke the tension with a laugh.
"We could all use a drink."
He raised a hand, signaling their waiter, and glanced at Hazard.
"Whatever you want," Hazard said.
"Emery pretends he doesn't care," Nico said, flashing a smile at Cora. Then he paused. "I know you."
"What?" Summers said.
"What?" Hazard said. Cora's refined features eased into a smile. It was like watching an iceberg melt.
"We've never..." "No, I know you. You were at Fashion Week, at the Frenzy."
Cora gave a helpless shrug, glancing at, of all people, Hazard.
"I was." "You were amazing. I still can't believe how you handled that old man."
Nico burst into a genuine laugh. His heart-stoppingly handsome face brightened.
"God, weren't you at Maggie Grober's brunch?"
A blush suffused Cora's face. "Please, don't tell me you remember." Nico burst into fresh laughter, elbowed Hazard.
"She threw wine in Stefan's face."
Cora held her napkin in front of her face.
"Who the hell is Stefan?" Hazard asked.
"Oh, you know. I was telling you about him and his partner. The ones with the two little dogs, remember? How they walk them in that park we always drive by? God, you never listen. Anyway, Cora threw wine in his face."
Cora dropped the napkin. Her face was flaming now.
"He grabbed my..."
She cast an embarrassed glance at, again, of all people, Hazard.
"He grabbed me, and he was making this awful joke about filling out a dress. I wasn't going to let him get away with that."
She laughed, and the sound wasn't anything like what Hazard remembered from high school. This laugh was full-bodied, genuine, and it only made her blush deepen. Wiping her eyes, she said,
"I never thought you'd remember me.
I know who you are, of course. Everybody knows.
But I never thought, I mean, I'm just there to help out."
Leaning in, Nico added in a mock whisper,
"And to teach Stefan a lesson."
Again, Cora burst into laughter. As she wiped at her eyes, she spoke to Hazard for the first time in 15 years.
"Everyone knows Nico Flores. When John Henry told me we were going on a double date, he mentioned Nico's first name, but I never would have put it together."
"Everyone knows him, huh?"
Hazard raised an eyebrow at his boyfriend. Elbowing Hazard again, Nico turned his attention to Cora.
"You're friends with Moody, aren't you? The two of you are always together. She's vicious, isn't she? I mean, very funny, but she cuts like a knife. You should have heard her when she saw Stefan at the Trustees Gala," Cora said.
muffling giggles with her napkin. At this point, Hazard leaned back in his chair. Summers, who was seated across from him, let out a breath. Nico and Cora didn't notice. They were too wrapped up in their own conversation. From the sound of it, they shared a surprisingly wide circle of friends, most of whom Hazard would have sworn he had never heard of.
"Do you think we can still get that wine?" Summers asked in a low voice.
Hazard grunted.
"It's going pretty well, right?"
Hazard grunted again.
"Did you know they..."
"Yeah, Summers. Of course I knew. I had magically figured out that they were best friends. I just decided not to tell you."
A moment passed, and Summers asked, "Who's Moody?"
"How the hell should I know?"
"You need some wine."
That was starting to sound better and better. Hazard motioned over the waiter again, and this time ordered a bottle. The candlelight flashed against the bandage on Hazard's hand, a shining reminder of Hazard's most recent case. Together with Summers, he had been trapped at an estate just outside Wareda. One murder had spiraled into a series of deaths. Hazard had come close to dying himself after a brutal physical confrontation. The worst of the bruises had healed, but the deep cut on his hand was still a painful scab.
"How is it?" Summers asked, nodding at the bandage.
"What did I tell you?"
"You said that if I asked you about your hand one more time, you'd shove it down my throat." Summers grinned. "But we're at a very fancy dinner, and even a thug like you has some manners."
Hazard opened his mouth to tell Summers exactly what he could do with his manners, but Nico and Cora's conversation caught his ear. Cora was speaking, her voice low, her hands wrapped together on the table, her eyes studying her hands.
"Didn't know Emery very well, of course, but that's what..."
She paused, as though suddenly aware of Hazard's attention. Her eyes, dark and gleaming like polished obsidian, glanced towards him and then away.
"I'm sorry. This is very awkward for me."
"Why?" Hazard asked. Then he grunted, biting back a swear as Summers kicked him in the shin, hard. Summers jerked his head angrily, and Hazard forced his voice to a slightly warmer tone, very slightly.
"I mean, I don't know why you should feel awkward."
Cora laughed, and this time it had none of its former humor.
"That's very kind of you, Emery, but you don't have to pretend that I wasn't an absolute bitch in high school."
Hazard stared at her. Everyone was waiting for him to respond. He could feel the anticipation. Nico leaned back in his seat, and his hand dropped under the table, his fingers lightly squeezing Hazard's.
"You weren't a bitch," Hazard finally said. "You were a teenager. We all were."
His voice turned dry.
"Nobody should be held accountable for what they do between 14 and 21.
With another cold laugh, Cora sipped at her wine. When she spoke, her eyes were still locked on her pale hands.
"The things I said about you, Emery, I'd understand if you never wanted to speak to me again. I told John Henry this wasn't a good idea."
She made as if to rise. Summers latched onto her arm, and he said,
"Cora, you don't know Emery. He's not that kind of person. The things I did to him, the things I allowed to happen, Emery should have killed me."
A trace of Summers's normal shit-eating grin appeared. "Most days, he still wants to kill me, although maybe for different reasons. What I'm trying to say is that he's a good man. The best man I know, and I want you to know him too." Something flashed in Cora's face. Hazard wasn't particularly good at reading other people's emotions, but he thought he recognized this one. Hope. The realization left him unnerved, as though he'd lost his footing in the conversation. Why the hell did she look like Summers had just tossed her a lifeline? Because she'd made a few nasty comments about Hazard in high school? Was she really the kind of person who carried that kind of guilt for 15 years? They were waiting for Hazard to speak, he realized. His jaw felt rusty as he opened his mouth, and the words bounced off his teeth with tinny, hollow sounds.
"I'm not a good man, but Summers is right about one thing. I'm done with that part of my life."
Let's leave the past in the past.
Hazard paused, fighting the selfish part of himself, the part that wanted Summers all to himself, the part that wanted him to snap at Cora with every cruel thought he'd ever had. Then, forcing the words out, he added, I hope you'll do the same.
Cora glanced at Summers, and then at Hazard. She nodded slowly.
Nico squeezed Hazard's fingers fiercely. Then, as though that weren't enough, he bent over and kissed Hazard's cheek.
You are amazing, he whispered.
The fresh stubble on his cheek scraped Hazard as he pulled away. No one seemed to know what to say next. Summers and Cora both drank deeply of their wine. Nico leaned against Hazard, the tips of his fingers playing against Hazard's. A low thrum interrupted the silence, and Summers pulled out his mobile phone. His eyes widened, and he glanced at Hazard, and then Cora.
It's my father.
Go on,
Cora said. Summers nodded, as though barely hearing her. He punched something on the screen, put the phone to his ear, and lurched away from the table. The glasses rattled as Summers caught one of the table's legs with his heel.
Father, he said as he walked towards the door. What's wrong?
Nico's dark, deep eyes rested on Hazard.
Is his father ill?
Hazard shook his head.
He seemed upset.
Yes, Hazard thought. Yes, Summers was probably upset. In fact, scratch that. Summers was definitely upset. Hazard only knew the outline of Summers' relationship with his father, and much of that was guesswork. But certain elements seemed clear. For one, Summers never spoke with his parents. For another, Glenworth Somerset, his father, seemed like just about the coldest asshole this side of Antarctica. And there were other things that Summers had hinted at when he'd drunk too much. Hazard realized that Cora was studying him with her dark, glittering eyes. Hazard was speaking before he realized it.
You know better than I do.
Cora shrugged.
I'm not sure that I do. John Henry's parents all but disowned him when we got married. They softened a little when we had Evie, and they all but welcomed John Henry back into the viper's nest when we separated. His father called me a few times. He's an attorney. Not that he's ever done much besides draw up a few contracts and cash a lot of checks. But he called a few times, threatening to sue me, threatening to sue for custody of Evie, threatening to sue for the house. I thought John Henry had put him up to it. That was when things were at their worst between us. Then one day I ran into them at the store. I don't even remember which one. It was a clothing store, I think. Probably the Nordstrom's. You'd think I would remember. I don't know what I was thinking, but I walked right up to John Henry and I told him that he could sue me. He could take everything I had, but that he'd never get Evie. I turned around, ready to march out of that store and never look back. But I stopped because I heard...
She paused, tracing the rim of the wine glass with a slack finger.
When I turned around, Glenworth Summers had a bloody lip, and John Henry was shaking his hand. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't believe what had happened. I ran. It was like I'd done something wrong, like I'd been the one who punched him. I've never talked to John Henry about that. Never. But I knew that he wasn't the one making those threats.
Summers reappeared in the doorway, and Nico's eyes narrowed.
He's much more complicated than he seems, isn't he?
Nico said.
I mean, he's so... He acts like a frat boy sometimes, and the way he talks, the way he stands. But he's not what I thought. Tonight, for example.
Tonight? Cora said.
What about tonight?
Nico shook his head, and before Cora could ask again, Summers had reached their table. He crooked a finger at Hazard.
We've got a call. We're off rotation tonight?
Well, we caught one.
What happened?
Will you come on already?
Hazard studied his partner.
What the hell could have happened? Are Lender and Swinney already on another call? All the patrol guys?
Will you get off your fucking ass?
Summers shouted, and then he broke off, reining in his voice. In a harsh whisper, he continued, "Will you get off your ass and come with me? We've got a call. What else do I have to say?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?